When St. Augustine was asked to name the three most important virtues, he gave a very interesting answer. He said, first, humility. Second, humility. Third, humility. And that's because humility is the unifying idea that undergirds the eight Beatitudes. And those Beatitudes summarize Jesus' teaching about how to live. You know, looking carefully, the common denominator of this is that the person who is blessed is the person who is not thinking about himself all the time. The poor in spirit and those who suffer persecution realize that they are not the center of the universe. God is. The clean of heart realizes that other people don't exist just for the sake of his pleasure. The peacemaker is concerned about the needs and problems of others. And the merciful is concerned about the suffering of others. The mournful is concerned about the damage that his sin does to the church, the world, and other people. The meek care more about getting things done than getting credit for doing things. Those who hunger for righteousness realize that their life has a higher purpose. It's part of a bigger story. And underlying all the Beatitudes is this fundamental attitude that puts God and others ahead of self. It looks out at the world instead of looking in, fixated on yourself. And this is humility. And God loves this humility because it opens the soul to receive his gifts. The arrogant soul is closed in on itself. No one can get in, not even God. And God wants to give gifts to the person who is arrogant. But you know, because our secular society doesn't think much of God, it also doesn't think much of humility. It considers humility a weakness and a hindrance. But the truth is that humility only adds to greatness, and it never subtracts from anything. There's a true story from the end of the 19th century, that's the late 1800s, about a young French businessman traveling by train to Paris. He was sharing a compartment with an old man who looked like a peasant, simple clothes, short hair, weather-beaten face. And this young businessman noticed this old man was gripping a rosary in his hands, and he noticed the devotion and concentration on his face. And so he thought he would have some fun with this old man, and he said, I see that you still believe in that medieval bunk about praying your beads. Do you also believe in all the other myths that priests try to teach us? Well, the old man said, yes, indeed. Don't you? And the man said, me? Do I believe in all that ridiculous superstition? And he laughed out loud. And then he said, I gave all that up when I was in college. And if you want to be smart, you should throw those beads out the window and start studying some real scientific truth. And the old man answered, I don't understand what you mean. Maybe you could help me. And the young man stepped back a little, and he said, well, I could send you some articles if you like. Do you know how to read? The man said, more or less. Well, good. So where should I send the material? And the old man fumbled in his coat pocket and then handed over a card. And it bore a simple inscription. Louis Pasteur, Paris Institute for Scientific Research. Well, at the end of the 19th century, you couldn't have found a more scientific person than Louis Pasteur. He was an expert on microbiology in those early days of studying it, and he proved the germ theory of disease and invented the rabies vaccine among all of his many, many accomplishments. His humility certainly did not hinder his greatness. And if the essence of humility is thinking more about God and others than about yourself, growing in humility means training yourself to do just that, which is a lifelong project. Prayer is essential because we turn our attention to God. Reading the Bible is essential because it presents Christ as the perfect example of humility for us. In another simple and practical way to exercise humility is praying for the souls in purgatory. You know, if we die in friendship with Christ, we will enter eternal life with him in heaven, but we can't make that entry until the last remnants of self-centeredness have been purified. And purgatory is the name the church gives to that process of purification. The church has also taught us that we can pray for the souls in purgatory, and we can even help speed up their purification. Here on earth, we can gain small indulgences for the souls in purgatory, relieve their suffering, speed up their entry into heaven, and so on. In certain prayers, like an act of faith or the rosary or the saying the creed, have indulgences attached to them, or doing an act of kindness, or giving up small pleasures, like no sugar in your coffee or no salt on your French fries. I wouldn't recommend that second one. Or driving for 5 minutes in the car instead of listening to the radio or your iPod or whatever it is, spend that time in silence with God. And all of these actions are actually linked to indulgences. And whenever we do these things, we're opening our hearts to God and to others, exercising the virtue of humility, the key to holiness and happiness.